You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
There isn't a parent listening to this broadcast today who, loving his children, does not want the best for them.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour.
The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Dear Father in heaven, we are all your children. Some of us also have children of our own, and some of us are children still under the care and love of our earthly fathers and mothers. Each of us, O God, needs your care and love to guide, strengthen, sustain, and comfort us through the trials and troubles, through the joys and gems of life. Give us a rich measure of your Holy Spirit, so that we who are parents may have the power and the wisdom to train our children to walk uprightly in your paths, and so that we who are children may love and honor the parents under whom you have placed us, to walk together with them in the way you have set. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Where is it all going to end? All too often, this cliched question is tossed into our everyday conversations. People want to know where we are headed. Confusion in government, uncertainty in business, depletion of natural resources, the meaning and purpose of life itself. Where are we going? And where is it all going to end? One of the truly great paradoxes of the time in which we live is that with our increasing knowledge, we seem to be increasingly less capable of dealing with the facts of life. Similar paradoxes or apparent contradictions can be pointed up in the fields of medicine and health, political ideologies, education, and last but not least, also in the area of religion and faith. Where is it all going to end? I really don't have any pat answers. I don't have the foggiest idea where inflation will stop or where depression might begin. I couldn't begin to prescribe a new cure for the dilemma of nation against nation, to find a way to bring about international unity and harmony. I don't pretend to understand the twists and the turns of political ideology. In the matter of curing incurable diseases, or even to keep pace with the curable ones, is beyond me. But when it comes to an answer for where it is all going to end in matters of religion and faith, I do have some good source material ready, and I don't hesitate for a moment to use it with authority. The material, of course, is straight from God through His Word, the Holy Bible. I cannot say that we today need His Word any more than did those who have gone before us. But with present world conditions being what they are, there is absolutely no doubt that we certainly need His Word as much as anybody has ever needed it. And if we are going to find an answer to our questions and do some good with what we find, we can start at no better place than with the words of Jesus recorded by St. Mark, Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. There isn't a parent listening to this broadcast today who, loving his or her children, does not want the best for them. The story of parental love is as old as parenthood, and the sacrifices parents have made and continue to make for their children are legendary. The gift of life itself has often been the price of love so that children might have the very best a parent could give. Obviously, however, not all parents are agreed on just what the best is. To some, the best may be financial security. To others, it may be a formal education. The best for some might be the latest in fashions in clothing or home furnishings. A new car. A hope chest crammed full of finery and goodies of all kinds. In the minds of some people, the best for their children might be books and art and high ideals, honesty, integrity, resourcefulness. If you were to ask 100 different parents what they might consider to be the very best they could offer their children, you could conceivably receive 100 different answers. Those would be right who come closest to meeting the intent of the words of Jesus, "Let the little children come to me." This emphatically is the best for God's children. There is no doubt about it. Indirectly, incidentally, it is also the best for the world in which we live, and it goes a long, long way toward solving the problems which have a habit of overwhelming our old world. The context of the words of Jesus is, I hope, familiar to all of you. In spite of being crowded in on by the hordes of people that had followed him, and pestered by the nagging harassments of the Pharisees, and undoubtedly tired after an unending stint of preaching and teaching, and over the objections of his disciples, the Son of God was deeply interested in the children of God. Parents had brought their young ones to him. The carefully detailed record of St. Luke tells us that they brought even infants to him, so that he could touch them and pronounce his blessings upon them. The reason behind his interest in these little children is briefly stated when Jesus says, "For to such belongs the kingdom of God." I wonder if we would be saying too much to use a play on words here. To such belongs the kingdom of God, but not all such belong to the kingdom. This is not said in judgment of any child or group of children, but simply directs attention to the cold fact that too many children are not brought to Jesus by loving parents, and the way into God's kingdom is not opened up to them. This is your responsibility, dear parent, and mine, as children of God ourselves, the adopted heirs of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. He is our Savior who died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead as the promise of our own resurrection to life everlasting, that we might live under him and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. To withhold this knowledge and salvation from our own children is to bestow on them a grave injustice. And, according to Dr. Martin Luther, to earn damnation for ourselves by neglecting the Christian training of our children. But that is what many parents are doing, probably without even being aware of it. While making every effort to give the best in life to our young people, we tend to overlook the best as being insignificant in their everyday life. And by choosing other ways for them, or assisting them to choose other ways on their own, we do not bring them to Jesus. We do not give them to him who is the best. This is an indictment, I know, that many people don't want to hear. We would rather like to think that we are doing our best. We want to be pleased with our efforts. I am sure the disciples thought that they were doing the right thing too when they tried to usher the parents and the children away from Jesus. It is a mistake easily made, but it is a mistake. If you want to see how this is relevant to our time and our condition or circumstance. And if you want to make the application of our text practical, think, for instance, of the kind of education we desire for our children. In our public schools, we want only qualified teachers. We want a full range of subjects with which to equip our youngsters for future living. In high school, we want a curriculum of studies that will be a springboard either to university or to a solid vocational training. Now, how does our desire for spiritual training stack up by comparison? It may be 1 hour a week in Sunday school. And even then, how often does a parent show direct personal interest in what his children are learning? Or how often does a parent express his wishes or desires concerning his child's greatest need, to know and to love his Savior? By the grace of God, every parent may begin very early in the child's life to express his or her concern by bringing the child to holy baptism, that means of grace described by St. Paul as the washing of rebirth. Writing to Titus, whom he addresses as my true son in our common faith, St. Paul says, "At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. Born into sin, a child is reborn by baptism into the Spirit of God, by whose power he or she may confess Jesus Christ as Lord, and through faith in Jesus may be brought to repentance and forgiveness. This is a blessing that comforts and sustains both parents and children, not only here and now, but also for eternity. What earthly or material gift even comes close to matching such blessing? What loving parents would knowingly withhold God's grace and blessing from their children? The United Nations has proclaimed this to be the year of the child. In any year, and every year, dear father and mother, we have a great responsibility before God with regard to the children he has given us. It is to train them for life, here and hereafter. It is to teach them now to walk with Jesus, so that they may live with him forever. So much of what goes on around them every day fights against this kind of training. The desire for freedom from authority, control, and responsibility that we read so much about. The common deceit that prevails in our little everyday contacts and associations, the pull of the crowd, all have an effect on and play an important part in the lives of the little people whom God has placed into our hands. We must guide and direct them, not by dictate alone, but by example as well as by word. We must assist them in setting goals, what goals to set and by what means to achieve them. With gross understatement, this is not easy, as any parent knows. Nobody has said it would be easy, but it can never be done at all in a manner pleasing to our Maker if we do not first desire for our children the very best, who is Jesus Christ. And if in seeking the best, we hinder them from coming to Jesus Christ. Let the little children come to me, our Savior pleads, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. What better can you offer them? This is the best for God's children. It comes from him. Amen.